So now we're going to hear God's word. This is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and Regina is going to share for us this morning. Hear now God's word.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what that unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?"
And from James chapter 5, verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." I invite you to respond now. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And join with me in our prayer of preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Today we continue our series on prayer, the circle maker. Last week we heard the story of Honi, who drew a circle in the sand and called to God for rain, and it happened. We also heard the story of how Israel was to march in a circle around the city of Jericho 7 times. Then they were to blow their trumpets and shout, which caused the walls to crumble. These kinds of miracles only happen when we make circles in prayer and ask for more than what we could possibly expect. So we're going to keep pursuing these big dreams, these miracles that change our lives. Last week, I invited you to think about goals in your life that honor God. If you haven't yet, write them down. Write out what your promised land from God is. What life goals you aspire to that God would want for you. Today we look at the persistence quotient, the hard work that is required from us before God responds to our prayers. And so you saw a little bit of that hard work through the Olympian. And I have 2 young boys, so it's probably not much of a surprise that I'm always looking for ways to help my boys to succeed. I want them to do well in everything, and particularly in school. So what's the secret? How do you help your kids be the best and brightest? If you look at standardized math tests, Japanese children consistently score higher than their American counterparts. While some assume that this is some kind of genetic skill set or natural gift that lets them outcalculate others, researchers have discovered that it may have more to do with effort than ability. In one study involving first graders, students were given a difficult puzzle to solve. The researchers weren't interested in whether or not the children could solve the puzzle. They simply wanted to see how long they would try before giving up. The American children lasted on average 9.5 minutes. The Japanese children lasted almost 14 minutes. In other words, the Japanese children tried about 40% longer. Is it any wonder that they score higher on math exams? Researchers concluded that the difference in math scores might have less to do with an intelligence quotient and more to do with a persistence quotient. The Japanese first graders simply tried harder. That's true no matter where you look. If it's sports or schoolwork, playing an instrument or your job, you can't take a shortcut. Success comes from persistence. Anders Ericsson defined what this looks like years ago. He was at the Academy of Music in Berlin studying musicians. With the help of professors, they divided violinists into 3 groups. There were the world-class soloists, the good violinists, and those who were unlikely to play professionally. All of them started playing at roughly the same age and practiced about the same amount of time until the age of 8. That's when their practice habits diverged. The researchers found that by the age of 20, the average players had logged about 4,000 hours of practice time. The good violinists totaled about 8,000 hours. The elite performers set the standard with 10,000 hours. While you can't deny innate ability dictates some of your upside potential, your potential is only tapped by persistent effort. Persistence is the magic bullet, and the magic number seems to be 10,000. So hard work, keeping at something, is important for a wide range of things, and if you repeat it enough, if you do it enough times, you'll find success. I think something similar is at play when it comes to prayer. When we keep coming back to the same things, praying over and over for something, God hears us. God knows we are circling it and are going to persist. Now, plenty of people start off in a very different place. Instead of saying, if I keep at it, I'll get an answer from God, they say, well, I prayed and nothing happened, so they simply give up. They don't work while they are waiting for an answer. That seems to be the default for a lot of us. So a lot of our prayers are simply wimpy prayers. Let me explain. We ask God to keep us safe when we travel, and we pray that our children will grow strong as they grow up. Now, there's nothing wrong with those prayers, but they are preventative prayers. They are what Mark Batterson calls first-degree faith. It's like the story of Lazarus. His sisters, Mary and Martha, send a messenger to Jesus to have him come and help their sick brother. Jesus waits several days, and when he finally does arrive, Martha says to him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. She's saying, Jesus, you could have prevented this death. Had you shown up earlier, you could have made it so it never happened in the first place. First degree faith. It prevents something bad from happening. The interesting thing about this is that most of the time these prayers will, quote unquote, work. If you pray for safety as you head home, most of the time you'll be perfectly safe because accidents are relatively rare. If you want someone to get well, our body can take care of many illnesses without us doing anything at all. These are first-degree faith prayers. Easy, simple, and not requiring a whole lot from God or even from us. But look at what Martha says right after her preventative prayer. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Now that is faith that is a whole order of magnitude greater than the first. Instead of asking for the easy thing, she is believing for what seems impossible. She has resurrection faith. She believes that God can undo what she sees right in front of her eyes. And it is in these most difficult moments that God grows us spiritually. If we persist in prayer when things are the hardest, our capacity is expanded. We can handle bigger and harder things because we've already seen God do the extraordinary. We know even then God can do the impossible. I think of two people in our church specifically when it comes to prayer expanding us. One is Pat Martin. Many of you know Pat, who just moved to Florida about a year ago. She has shared her testimony here before of her illness, her list of woes. But did she quit? No. She prayed. She praised God despite everything happening around her and to her. And you know what she's doing now? Last month, she asked me to write her a letter of recommendation to be a chaplain at a hospital. Who better than Pat Martin, who has seen it all and persisted in her faith? I also think of Amy. Over the summer, her son was in a motorcycle accident, and nothing gets you praying like your children knocking on death's door. She was in the hospital for a month straight, praying circles around her son, Michael. Though there were some ups and downs, the news was consistently better than expected. Doctors were floored by his progress, and Amy is stronger and more capable spiritually because of what she went through. I don't wish these difficult experiences on anyone, but I am glad they chose to persist in prayer. It has raised their persistence quotient. In the story of the persistent widow we read today, we see how praying hard is praying through a situation. When the judge says that the persistent widow is wearing me out or bothering me, he's actually using a boxing term that means to strike a person. Her persistence is a punch so hard it causes serious weakness and debilitation and can lead to deep fatigue and extreme weariness. That's what that word means. It is quite a blow this little old woman is delivering to the judge. It makes me think of when I went before the Board of Ordained Ministry, when I was going before a large group of pastors to become a full pastor in the United Methodist Church. One pastor, being around one is bad enough, right? But when you're around several, my goodness, when you're in a room full of 30 to 40 pastors, it's a whole nother ball game then, right? But I told them when I was in front of this group, I said, I am not worried one bit about what you will say about me, how you'll evaluate me, because I have a grandmother that is praying for me right now. You pastors in this room, you have nothing on my praying grandmother. So I invite you, don't underestimate the prayers of the grandmothers in this room. Don't underestimate grandma. There's this other passage in Scripture about the prophet Elijah. Like Honi, he is praying for rain. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, so Israel is in this terrible drought, and as he prays for the rain to resume, he sends his servant to go look toward the sea. Elijah expected an answer to his prayer. When we pray with persistence, we know that an answer will come. So we are on the lookout for that answer. The servant is looking for clouds so he can see the rain come. Elijah is the one who challenged the false prophets to call fire down to consume their sacrifice. He's the one who told the widow who had one last meal worth of dough to go and bake the bread. He's also the one that didn't just pray for the Jordan River to be parted. He struck it with his rolled up cloak. Over and over, prayer is accompanied by action. Then there's the story of Israel. Just before they enter the promised land, they are told to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to take a few steps into the Jordan River. They actually have to get their feet wet before God stops the flow for them to cross. Do you see the implication here? If you are going to pray with persistence and grow in your spiritual muscles, you've got to take a step toward it. You've got to look toward the sea, like Elijah's servant, expecting that what you are praying for is going to happen. I think sometimes the reason we get frustrated and don't keep developing spiritually is that we think doing God's will should get easier as we get older. It doesn't get easier, folks. God wants to keep putting you in situations that will stretch you, that will make you grow spiritually. This is how we grow closer to God and become holy like God is holy, by dealing with hard things that require persistent prayer. The truth is, the blessings of God in your life will complicate your life. Sin complicates it too, but in negative ways. God's blessing complicates life in positive ways. So I married Emily, who has been the biggest blessing of my entire life, but guess what else happened? My life got a little more complicated. Then two little miracles came along, and we named them Davy and Halloran, and guess what happened? We were blessed again, but our life is far more complicated with them in it. I love them to death, but it's a blessing that complicates things. Promotions bring complications. Higher income brings complications, but they are God's blessing. You just have to make sure you are ready for it and are maturing spiritually. To get there, you need to pray hard, asking God to actually make your life harder. Are you ready for that? The harder you pray, the harder you will have to work, and that is a blessing from God. I think it comes down to this one simple thing. We have to work like everything depends on us, but pray like everything depends on God. You can't just pray and say, I did my part. Pray and work. Pray and work. Pray and work. Often we will pray right up to the point of discomfort, but no further. We're willing to pray right up to the point of inconvenience, but no further. Praying hard is uncomfortable and inconvenient, but that's when you know you are circling the will of God, getting closer and closer to what He wants for you. Unanswered prayer isn't so much that we aren't praying hard enough, it's that we aren't working hard enough. We aren't stepping out in faith and growing spiritually. One final story here. There's a woman who is growing spiritually by leaps and bounds. Her name is Lisa, and she works at the Dream Center at the Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. They have an amazing outreach to pimps and prostitutes. They mentor kids, feed the hungry. All kinds of needs are met through the Dream Center. And Lisa, she had a great salary as a journalist, but one day she decided to quit. She knew God was calling her to work at the Dream Center. She's the kind of person that knows what it means to depend on God every day. There are so many needs in the community that they work hard and pray hard every single day. One day as she was praying for the Dream Center at home, she felt the Holy Spirit nudge her. She felt the Spirit tell her to take her woolly socks to the Dream Center. At first, she thought she was losing her mind. She knew it was strange, but she couldn't shake the feeling. So she got her woolly socks, put them in her purse, and headed downtown. When she arrived there, there was a prostitute literally passed out on the steps of the center. Lisa opened the door, carried her inside, and cradled her in her arms until she regained consciousness a few minutes later. She was so cold that she was shaking. That's when Lisa asked her, if you could have anything, what would it be? Without hesitation, she said, woolly socks. Lisa just about lost it. She cries every time she tells this story. Lisa told her, look what I have, and pulled out her woolly socks, which even matched the woman's outfit. God loves us with an incredible love, one where nothing is too big for Him, but also nothing is too small for Him either. If we could learn to listen for God's promptings, we would certainly find ourselves in the middle of God's miracles more often. But we've got to put in hard work and hard prayer. It's easy to talk, to ask God for things, to pray for miracles. It is much harder to listen and look closely for those answers from God. That is what God calls us to, though, to grow in persistence by praying, by listening, by watching, and then stepping out in faith. I see it in many of you here. I see it in Pat Martin and Amy. I even saw it last week from Femi, who has been a part of our church since the fall. He's studying to work in a hospital and told me last week, I finished the hardest exams. How can I give more to the church? How can I contribute around here? He has heard God's whisper, and he has responded in an act of faith. How will you grow spiritually? What will you circle in prayer, trusting in God's goodness and love? What will your step of faith be this week? I pray whatever it is, it teaches you to pray hard, listen closely, and step out in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, our prayer is that we would hear you speak in the midst of our prayers. Help us, Lord, as we seek your will in our lives, to listen closely for your voice, to seek your will, to respond in faith.